That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning, Remnant. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's a wet morning, August 13th, 2022. Had a good rain last night, but we're thankful for that. It is that time of the year, and we welcome you here. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. We've got a full course for you this morning, a little bit of everything, and we've got a full crew. Jason, good morning, sir.
Morning.
And we'll bring the rest of the men on. Josh from way down south, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
And Mr. Paul, I'll say way up north, good morning.
Good morning.
And Remnant, wherever you are, we say good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. We have our coffee, we have our Bibles. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. We'll be glad to take your call. Going to open up in prayer. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning in the direction of our thoughts and the direction we're to go in this program. Father, we come before you and we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, over this country, and over your people, and ask, Father, that you just continue to move in a mighty and powerful way, Father. Allow us to be a blessing to you and your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Well, I'll open it up. If anybody had anything they really wanted to start with this morning, headlines are awash with, a little bit of everything. It's not good news when you look at the mass media of Babylon. It certainly isn't, but that's by design. But didn't know if anybody had anything on their mind they wanted to start out with this morning.
Well, one of the things that I saw that was kind of interesting is these Dutch farmers, boy, they're having a heyday over there in their protest. Farmers just protesting like crazy against basically a tyrannical government and everything. And it's, you know, it's when the farmers start rebelling and, you know, the government's threatened to shut down 11,000 farms, excuse me, you've got some real problems. I mean, it's, you know, what do they think? What, you know, and it's just, it's mind-boggling because so many people, you can ask people off the streets where their groceries come from, where their food comes from, and, you know, there's very few people that have any idea that it comes from farms and that we've got to have farms to survive. And when farmers are under attack, we've got a real problem. It's not too long before you got food shortages. And, I mean, it's just writing's on the wall, and it's happening all over the country. But I would encourage people to look at these Dutch farm protests. Why are the Dutch farmers protesting? A lot of it's over these emission cuts that they're trying to do and this, you know, these Tier 4 tractors and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting, and it's worth looking into.
This morning I seen on YouTube a Dutch farmer spraying the parliament with big, big fire hoses of milk just covering that building with milk. So, yeah.
I saw the same one, yeah.
Yeah, they're fighting for their life. They're fighting for everybody's life. You know, when the farmer sows the seed, it ain't just for him. He knows his job. You know, I don't know about these corporate farms, but most farmers know what they're doing. And they enjoy doing it for the most part, even under adverse conditions.
Yes. Yeah, I got a good video on it. Dutch Farmer Rebellion, the one that I watched this morning. Thanks, Derek, for sending that in. That was a real good video. And it's just, I mean, it is a big deal. I mean, it's, you know, it's, and we're talking big farms over there, too.
It seems like the anarchists, whoever they are really putting it in high gear to take over, because I think they know that the people are waking up and they got to move now or never, you know, and it's worldwide, you know, Italy too, in Australia, the farmers are just say that's enough, you know. I don't know what's going on here. Where I live right at the moment, it looks pretty fertile, you know, looks good, but a lot of the country doesn't look that way, so I don't know, but they're putting a full bore on taking this world over right now. I see where Amazon lost $2 billion last quarter. So, you know, they're not as solid as you think they are.
Yeah, exactly. Peace being in your neck of the woods there, Josh.
Well, thankfully we've been getting plenty of rain. And so we got good grass and everything's growing. You know, listening to y'all talk about this battle, and that's what it is. I mean, these folks are fighting for their lives, for their way of life that they've been living for many of them generations and generations since they came here. You know, working land, tilling land, and also the same in other countries, but just thinking about those battles and when we fight those battles, that the first thing we need to do is make sure we're in the right spot and get right with God before we go to fighting anybody. And and that no doubt is a daily thing that we need to do to sit back and look at ourselves and try to see where we're wrong and to pray for forgiveness, make correction, and go again. You know, every day should be that same cycle, that same process of recalibration, if you would, to try to get closer to where God would have us to be. But there's definitely sin in our camps, and we know through, I think you and I were talking about yesterday, Jason, you know, examples in the Bible where if you got sin in the camp and if you're not right with God, doesn't matter what the odds are, you're not going to win. Whereas on the other side of that, if you got favor and if you make sure that you are in the right, you know, on the correct side and on God's side, well, then you can't lose. It doesn't matter what the odds are in that direction as well, as long as you're found where you're supposed to be doing what God has set you to do. So, I've just been thinking about that the last few days, you know, if we want to win the battle, we got to be where he wants us to be doing what he wants us to do. And need to look at ourselves and make sure we're in the right spot and that we don't have a bunch of sin in our camp that is cutting us off from his power.
Yeah, really good point. You know, and that's one thing that's, you know, what our enemies have done time and time again. And, I mean, they've been doing that since the time of Balaam. And it's, you know, what they do is they introduce sin into the camp and bring the wrath of God upon Israel.
Yeah, and most of the time we're more than willing to destroy ourselves by turning our backs on God.
And there's a lot of that goes on.
I've heard stories of these businesses that have gotten huge amounts of money over this COVID thing, you know, and it's tainted them and their ability to want to do work. I mean, that's the trouble with welfare. It destroys people. Years ago, I heard a sermon on D. James Kennedy when I was listening to him that how welfare destroys people, and it does. It's destroyed our country, and we just had a huge influx of paper into this economy based on nothing, and people love it so to some degree, but I think it's about to come to a head, you know. And like you said, you know, my neighbor, he's got some cattle. We were talking one day, saying, hey, they're going to come out here and shoot our cows. I said, hey, John, don't worry about it. I said, they don't even know where that meat comes from. So, and they don't. A few do, but...
It comes from the grocery store.
Yeah.
It gets there somehow. I guess. I don't really know how it works either, do you? That's a joke.
Yeah, 25 years ago, before we came out here, we lived in South Carolina and had a milk cow and chickens and had enough to share with others. And so we'd... Once a month, had a little food co-op delivery came in, and we'd set all that up, and had, you know, about 10 or 12 families would stop by and had ordered food and might come and get fresh eggs or fresh cream or something. And I can remember even then, and that was a generation ago, you know, showing those city folk, not so much the parents, because they knew they were trying to eat a little better and do a little better, but their children. Literally, I can remember asking them, do you want to see where milk comes from? And, you know, one little girl raising her hand and saying, hey, yeah, I know where it comes from. It comes from the store. It comes from Publix. And, you know, and telling her, well, let me show you where they get it from. And taking them out and, you know, showing them milking the cow, letting them go see the chickens on roost and collect the eggs from underneath and those things. And 25 years ago, it was all but lost on that generation. And now that generation is having children. Maybe they're just the ones that are, you know, blue-haired and tattooed and pierced and not really understanding where that food does come from. We look back in history. I mentioned
to your
it before.
Point, I thought,
go ahead, Josh.
To your point, I saw some numbers the other day, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was 50 years ago. I want to say it was 27% of the food that our country consumed was produced by, you know, more or less gardens and backyard farms and what have you. And now it's like 0.1% that of our food, you know, comes from family gardens. And, you know, mom and pop got a half dozen cows and coop chickens, what have you. That's just amazing to me.
Yeah, amen, it is. And it is insane the way that number is dropping. And then if you go back a couple more generations, even, you know, at the time of World War II, back in the 40s, it was three times that. Guys, the phone's ringing. Let's try to take a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi. Good morning. I just want to read one little scripture.
Sure.
Are you there?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's in Matthew. It's Matthew 17, verse 21. And it says, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So, you know, there's another way to cast demons out that won't go out very easily. It's through prayer and fasting. So, I'm kind of recommending that for our people, that, you know, if we have one of these guys that's got the yellow hair and the green hair and the tats and all that stuff, Maybe we can kick his demons out of, or her demons out of them with prayer and fasting.
Well, that is the word, and it certainly works. That's for sure. That's for sure. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Yeah, Josh, back to what we were talking about, the gardens. The you know, even back in the 40s, you had what they called the Victory Gardens, and here in the country, and it grew quite a bit more than even that 27% you were talking about, as far as how much food the local people, you know, local farmers, local gardens were producing. Sure does seem that there is a somewhat of a movement back to some of that. I know, you know, several of the books, Jason's done a great job with these books this last couple years along those same lines, finding some information for this generation now that a lot are just have been removed from it, from growing, from growing up with uncles and grandpas that had farms and big gardens. One of the books that Jason found that's doing real well, that we it's hard to keep it in stock. I think I've still got a couple, but that's about it. And it's called Growing Good Food, Victory Gardening, and it goes back and alludes to and tells of the Victory Gardens is what they called them in World War II, that people had. And it is so foreign to so many people in our land. But, you know, the people in the land don't realize that as of this week, 43% of the United States is in a severe drought. 51% of the lower 48 states is in a severe drought, and the forecast is that it will persist into the fall and the winter. And you know, that prevents water from being there. When you're in a drought, you don't have enough water for the agriculture use, for the people, much less for the lakes and the ponds and the reservoirs for recreation. And we've seen this continue, this drought that with the short attention span of so many in the land today, if it's not in their backyard, it must not be happening. Josh, like you said, got a good rain. We did too. We got a great rain. We've still got standing water in the drive this morning, but the land here is still in a drought. And there are you know, major changes, and we've seen them happening, and they're continuing to in farmland, in ranch land, that land is being taken out of production because of a lack of water. You really see it from here down toward the southwest, and especially in Southern California, where they have been living with that drought for 20 years, and things are changing. They really are, and not for the better, not for the better. Ezekiel 39, a couple of verses here, it says, "The nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted treacherously against me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I dealt with them and hid my face from them." And I think that those prophetic words of God, what he did then, and it is just a continuing thing that God does in with his people, that, like he says, the term that's used there in Ezekiel, when his people turn from him, he hides their face from them. And I think this drought and this huge food issue that is coming up, certainly it's going to start with the farms, and it has, in God's people not having the food and water in the land of milk and honey that he had promised.
Well, we keep going back to the subject. I'm just sitting here thinking about it, not trying to beat a dead horse or be a broken record, but it's because it's so serious to us, and we want people to understand that, you know, we need to change the way we're living. It's a lifestyle thing. It's not just the, because to me it would be, there ain't a whole lot of worse things I can think of than to sit there and watch my children not have something to eat or water to drink. You know, we're not saying this, and regardless if it's the not having food on your table or if it's just that the food on your table is empty and doesn't have the nutrients and has been sprayed with pre-emergent herbicides and then pesticides three times throughout its life cycle, and you know the food that you eat is empty and poisoned, whichever way that it is, we're just advocating, you know, a different way of life. You know, it's a more sustainable way, and to me, that's why I keep going back to that. My thoughts is because it is so important. There's so much going on, and we don't want anyone to get caught in that spot where they aren't prepared. We're not supposed to worry about it. I mean, God, he takes care of the birds in the sky, and he definitely take care of us, you know, but we've got to do our part. And that's a theme throughout the Bible, is you got to be found being obedient and doing your part. And so that's, we're not trying to sound like a broken record and keep coming back to this, but just don't want anybody to get caught in a bad spot where they haven't done what they're supposed to do.
Well, the good book does say repent or perish, and this is what's on our plate right now. We have to, like you said, a different lifestyle and different priorities, and there's not a one of us that got room for improvement in that. Change our priorities and the way we look at things. We have to really, I have to keep reminding myself, you know, God's hand is in all of this for a purpose, and we have to really, like you say, know how to deal with it, you know, on our own level. You know, he will fight our battles. He's going to humble us where we got no way to turn. I mean, we're right there, whether people know it or not. I mean, they're manipulating. You know, they manipulated the farmer for years with prices, where they drove them from the farm, and the big guy just kept going with their subsidies and stuff like that. But we've been headed for this thing for a long, long time. It's coming to a head. and we're going to have no place to turn. There's going to be a lot of casualties, I believe.
Well, and, you know, Richard saying that it's definitely not for the good, and I understand what he's saying with that. But when he said that, I thought about, well, the only thing I can think of that's good about it is if there's 30% less genetically modified, sprayed, super, you know, yes, treated wheat that is produced in the country, that is 30% less of this terrible produce that's going out there. And you talk about the manipulation. I mean, we, as a people, the farmers included, have chased after money for so long that's how we got to the point in our agricultural system that we have, is from being under that control and being manipulated and being led by the dollar, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've said it before that, you know, the American agriculture system has changed from a quality to a quantity business. It's just, you know, get more. How can we get more? Well, we can modify this seed to get more yield, and we can spray this chemical to get more yield, and we can, add all these chemical fertilizers and on and on and on to get more yield. You see the...
Well, that's what Gabe Brown says. We don't talk yield, we talk profit. You know, God wants us to have a profit. You know, I see this farmer every week, and he went into an old-till last year. He didn't have an old-till planter. And you should see those crops. They are just beautiful. And he keeps waiting to go broke or, you know, go down, and he just keeps coming up. But he is a God-fearing man, and he knows where it comes from. But, the production is just coming up, and what we've been doing has actually been stifling us. You know, we got this bug, so we spray for that and stuff like that. You got a healthy plant, a bug won't touch it. So, we've been going the wrong way. The university has let us down the tube, and we didn't have to go there. We didn't have to do it. You know, the Bible talks about debt, too. They bear all this money, operating money, to get in farming. You know, they've been on a thread for a long time, a lot of them, but there are people out there that aren't on a thread.
Yes.
Some of the wiser ones that have, you know, managed their debt, and they are more solvent than you know. So, and there's a few of those out there. Everybody ain't on them. They're not dumb people, you know. They do have the courage to go forward, which is a good attribute, but the way we go forward was another story, so... You know, but just this farm I've been watching all summer, last couple of years, actually, is just going up and up and not down and down. God's way is a better way for sure.
Amen. They had the local farmers market in Laramie late yesterday afternoon, and I stopped by after I took mail in, and booming. It was crowded, and the majority of it, whether they were local honey producers, several vendors come in from Colorado. They can grow a whole lot more down there. But people were just, you know, buying bagfuls of whether it was corn or tomatoes or zucchini or cucumbers. I can't help but think that that's going on all over, that more and more people are looking local. And if they're unable to grow it, they're at least supporting those that are. So that was that at least for some, I think that's a good thing.
Richard, when you had that one cow, could you drink all the milk?
Oh my gosh, no. We had, and this cow was already retired from the dairy. We had made friends with the last small family dairy person there in South Carolina, and his children had shown this cow all through 4-H, and she was down to two quarters. You know, a cow has four quarters, that's why they call them quarters, four make a whole. She only had two active quarters on one side, so he pretty much retired her from his dairy operation. He had about 36 cows, and we bought her from him. And so this cow, this Jersey cow, My son Derek, he's 32 now. He was 10 years old, and milking this cow. We had a little surge milker, and we would get 2 to 3 gallons per milking just from. And that's only the cow only had 2 producing quarters, and we would, you know, of course, you know, you clean it. We had a cream separator. We'd separate the cream off. We'd make ice cream with the cream. And no way could we drink all that milk. And we, you know, Derek was 10. I mean, we had stair steps, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, and a baby back in those days. And no, we couldn't. And so we were able to sell.
Look at that dollar-wise now.
Yeah.
Look at that dollar-wise now, whereas a half gallon of organic milk is what, $5-6 a half gallon times 2. So, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That you put back into the family. And I know you're talking about back when, but
right.
But it does make financial sense to, if you can, to do these things. And then sometimes it doesn't. I mean, there's been plenty of years where I've spent more on a garden. You know, it would have been cheaper to go to the market and buy the stuff, but that's not going to get you good at growing a garden,
right.
Going to the market and buying stuff because it's cheaper.
That's right. There's more involved than just that money, just like chickens. You know, the most expensive eggs you'll ever buy are if you raise eggs at home sometimes, at least here in this climate sometimes. You know, having to buy a $16, $18 bag of chicken feed. But it gives you a place to put all your chicken scraps. If you don't, we've got 2 buckets, you know, for scraps. One is compost and one is chickens. But it does so much for the children. We've still got children at home. And, you know, from the chores to them learning how this cycle of life works and where food and eggs and milk and that kind of thing come from, it is. It's had to take a load. We're cleaning up. Jason's got his dump trailer up here, and we're cleaning out a shop and took a load to the dump this past week. And what a mess our dumps are because we live in a throwaway society. Oh, there's a little recycling. They'll recycle, you know, computers and screens and different things, but. You know, we live in just such a consumer, disposable society today, and it ought not to be. It really is not. It is not the way God intended. It's not, and it's in every aspect.
Back to those high dollar chickens. You know, we got a coop and we got some birds, and my little girl loves to tend to them, and. She's learned a lot of lessons out of the chicken coop, but to look down there at evening times and see her down there with these chickens that she's got
yes.
trained to do different things, you know, there's just and Pastor Peters did a lot of research and talking on the frequency thing, and I know Jason got a lot of knowledge there, but there is just a difference in that frequency and that feeling. With that connection between you and the land, whenever you have those animals that you're doing for, when you're growing that garden, you know, you walk out there in the garden with your bare feet in that dirt, and you know, or when you are enjoying the beef that came off of your place, there's just something about it that is calming, or you know, it's just a good. Connection there with the land.
That's right. Josh, when we bought that milk cow back 25 years ago in South Carolina, and when we moved out here, we brought her with us, just to let you know, we moved cross country and brought the milk cow with us. But the dairyman there told me, and that's been 25, 26 years ago, he said, happy cows give better milk. And I think that ties in with what you're saying. You know, taking care of the animals, you get a better, you know, like you said, happy cows give better milk. And they do. And you know, when you have a whether it's chickens, whether it's, like you said, a garden, whether you're raising beef, we've just had the county fairs are going on, and the ag children that have raised up farm animals, whether they're ducks or geese or pigs or cows or steers or what, have just shown them, and then they've had their sale. And you know, the life lessons that are there, and that ties all in with just what you're saying, Josh, the frequency. And there is so much there that teaches of life, and of the Creator that gives life, that it's a shame that more are not able to be involved in that. But for those that are, they do. They you know, the children in the 4-H and the FFA and at these county fairs and stuff, they you know, they're not just out there running a business, trying to make all they can. No, their animals are named, and they're, like you said, trained, like your daughter with the trained chickens. I think of a couple 4-H girls here in our group that are like that. And it's good stuff. It really is. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Sorry to bother you guys again, but I remember a scripture that Pastor Peters used to read a lot, and it's from Jeremiah 29 and number 5. It says, build houses and live in them,
yes,
and plant gardens and eat their produce. And that was about, you know, the people that were sold in the Babylonian slavery. And, you know, we've been in Babylon all this time, and we haven't been doing that, but I guess you guys have been doing that, so congratulations and thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thanks again for the call. Yeah, that right there in Jeremiah, and of course, a lot of times that Jeremiah 29:11 comes up. I know the good plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, even in captivity. I think those are good words for us today.
Well, there are, you mentioned an FFA, and so I saw an article, I think it was this week. I was in FFA when I was younger, and, you know, I think there's been a lot of good work done out of it. I'm sure it's not a perfect organization, but I saw where the national FFA advisor actually resigned, and he wrote this lengthy letter about the fact that the organization is getting away from the morals and the standards, more or less, of where he thinks it should be. And the letter was kind of a call to action that he's hoping that others would take a stand as well and not let that organization, which was, you know, founded for and was supposed to be for our youth, to train them in the old ways, you know, learning
right
carpentry and how to grow a garden and sustainability and all that. Now, they got their genetic engineering and stuff and this and that. I mean, there's definitely a lot of the bad that's taught there, too. But I guarantee you that you're not going to run across a child that's in FFA that doesn't know where milk comes from. Yeah, so there is some amount of good that comes of it. But just the fact that he had the gumption to take a stand and resign, and apparently there's a pretty good fight coming on there about you know, this gender stuff and inclusion and this and that. And his thing is, you know, been trying to include people forever. That's not anything any different. But whenever you take and celebrate one group of people and leave out all the rest of the groups, well, then that's not inclusion. You know, that's separation, and you're going to cause friction. And it's amazing to me that so many people can't see that. You know, whenever you take one group of people, which whatever group that is, you know, one portion of a group, and lift them up, they're going to cause issues with the rest of the group whenever you do that.
Yeah, it's so, inevitable. It is. Well, guys, we've got Warren calling in. Good morning, Warren. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's going about the primers, Tom. You're talking about them. You talk about the farm market. We got them up here. You can't find one farm market that's got organic sweet corn. And all the farmers up here, they don't give the land, a Sabbath like the old farmers did. Raise corn or oats or whatever a couple of years, and what they saw the alfalfa and stuff with the oats, and then that field got turned into a pasture. Their cattle are all in feedlots, and then they sell the milk and the meat and stuff off of these cows that have been laying in manure and mud and all that up here. The farmers all plant that. They don't even plant the corn and rows anymore. It's all no-till. I mean, the farms up here are sick. All the barns are falling down. And then they go work in a factory after they get that, genetically modified corn planted. You won't even see one weed in it. What I understand about that, those corn fields eventually won't be able to grow anything for 10 years on it. So we always try to buy grass-fed beef and, organic veggies and stuff. And the reason they're higher priced, they don't have the yield like you're talking about. I mean, we got a small garden, and we really can't give it a Sabbath and, get some, stuff like we want off it either. But there's no reason that the farmers can't obey God's law and give that land a Sabbath.
Amen. It would be better if we did. That's for sure. That's for sure. And those that do, like it was mentioned, Gabe Brown book and the no-till and the regenerative agriculture, that is a movement, back to those old ways that work. And there's some. There's not all that are doing it, but there certainly are some. It's a growing field, and that's a good thing that those people are waking up to it.
Yeah, out in western Wisconsin, where my daughter lives, they still, it's really hilly out there, right on the Mississippi River. They still do contour farming and rotate their crops, and you can see the difference in the corn. This genetically modified corn, it's like if the corn stalk's an inch in diameter, and the old corn stalks, you would get probably 3-4 inches in diameter. And I used to like that when we'd, chop silage, take that stretchy part out of the middle of the, the corn cob and eat it, and it's like eating candy or something. And so we'll have to pray that the farmers get back to, God's laws.
Amen. Well, Warren, thanks for the call. You have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things that we're talking about is I just read this morning, and it says England battles worst drought in over 50 years. Drought was officially declared on Friday in 8 out of 14 areas of England during what has been the driest summer in 50 years, the UK Environmental Department said in a statement. Parts of southwestern, central, and eastern England, as well as north and south London, have had their status updated following a meeting of the National Drought Group, which includes environmental agency experts, members of government water companies, and key representative groups. And we're seeing droughts. We're seeing, a lot of different areas. That's one thing that, getting back to God's ways, that prevents droughts. Being traveling, and you can see it. And the people that are using, that are doing cover crops and putting cover crops in it, one of the things that helps with is making your land drought resistant. Making sure that the ground's covered up, you don't use as much water. And there is a lot of, it's a growing movement. It's exciting to see. When I was traveling back to Arkansas this last time, going across Nebraska, I mean, there was just in the last year, there was fields that were popped up that had big, you know, 4x8 pieces of the plywood that were painted, and it's like we're using cover crops, and people were proud of it. And it's people that are, you know, breaking the mold, and they're realizing that, you know, everything that they've been told ain't true. And a lot of these people, you talk to them and stuff, there are people. I mean, they're people that are listening to, they're listening to the working of the Holy Spirit, as far as I'm concerned, because they're going in a different direction. They're going against the grain. They're going against society. They're going against their fertilizer guy, their seed guy. They're, you know, everything that they've been taught and indoctrinated with their whole lives as farmers is they're breaking loose and doing something different. And that's got to be the working of the Holy Spirit. That's got to be God working, because it's one of the things that, you know, this land is being destroyed. And, you know, I really think that our enemies, you know, they sit back and they have an agenda, and their agenda is, you know, is steal, kill, and destroy. And they've done a really good job at it. But sometimes I think that they're sitting back and they're like, you know, we should be doing a better job than this. You know, why are we not succeeding? I really believe that, you know, through their plandemic, that they expected a lot more people to die than did die. And, you know, that was God working. And I really believe that, you know, through their vaccinations and through their spreading of disease and their sickness and their indoctrination, that they expected things to be a lot worse, and they wanted things to be a lot worse. And they couldn't get their agenda through. We've got a God, and He's got a people, and He's looking out after His people, and it's exciting.
And we got a promise from Him that He's going to work all this for our good.
Amen.
And you exactly
that's
right.
That's the good news, and that's the exciting part about it.
You're exactly right. I agree with you. I don't. You know, they're trying, and it's not working out the way that they want it to be. And the more that we repent, the more we turn back to God, to His ways, the more frustrated they'll get, and the more they will lose.
Chronicles 7:14 or bust.
Yeah, that was amazing to me. You quoting those yield percentages of your neighbors on the hay crops. That's pretty dire.
Yeah. And it's in a lot of different places. And then, I mean, there's places that are getting rain, and there's people, you know, and it's just, you know, it's hit and miss. It's roll the dice. And, you know, I mean, it's God's in control of it all. But we've got to do our part. And like you said, that is repenting of our sins. Making sure that we don't have that in our camp.
Amen.
We were talking earlier about this guy that makes the stuff that I deal with. He was truly a brilliant man. He did an embryo transplant in 1959 on a cow. He was trained as a veterinarian, and then they were going to go into business with other vets and sell embryos and make millions of dollars. Well, he said, if we wouldn't have been vets, we'd have been broke for sure. You know. And anyway, fast forward. Recently, he was in the Philippines living, and he was dealing with playing music to plants, and he could see that they were responding to it. And, I guess Satan was the head musician, and look at the rock music, all the music we have today, country is just all gibberish is what it is. But nature, you know, there's a book out called Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. I read it recently. If I don't humble you, nothing will. She talked about we had Dutch elm disease, and these cities were spraying all the elm trees with DDT, and they had dead robins everywhere. It's a book that is very humbling into how things work, and you should read it. You really should, because Silent Spring, see, the birds singing in the spring wake things up. I mean, nature has its own way if we just get out of the way and let it do it, but there's a real shortage of birds around here. Insects, bees, everything. Nature's groaning for the revelation of man. And I believe fully that the Holy Spirit is moving in us with the people that's going all over the country. They find out they've been duped, you know. You can save your own seeds. You can be totally independent of the corporate world. but they've got us indoctrinated. You got to raise hybrid seeds and stuff like that. This farmer I was talking about earlier, he went and spread some wheat out of his bin with a fertilizer spread on this field just for a cover crop. Well, it looked so good, he let it grow and harvest. It was about 20 bushel higher than all the rest of the certified seed. And it'll, and that goes back to Gabe Brown's book, where that seed will adapt to your farm. But that was just amazing that, you know, he like had 20 bushel more where he just basically went and spread some wheat on the top of the field and didn't expect nothing out of it and got it. But that's kind of the way God is. Just he likes the weak and the foolish, you know. But if you're out learning, he's teaching us this whole time. But the birds don't sing in the spring, and that is quite a book. It's very, very humbling. I read it. See, we used to have a spray. We had five sprayers. We went in town and sprayed everybody's trees with everything, you know. And I thought she was nuts. Well, you know, you didn't want to. But I finally read it this recently, and everything we did was wrong. Because if you kill one bug, you kill all the bugs. Because most, even nematodes, 90% of them are beneficial to you. 10% are bad. And nature's built that way that when things go down, see, that fungus and that insect come to destroy crops that shouldn't be eaten. But, you know, we got to pay the bankers. So we got to have that crop and sell it. And we just one debt. It's just one downhill thing. And God's, read Malachi, you tithe and he'll pour out his blessings to you. And I see this going on this farm that I deal with. I go see him every week and stuff. But it's just getting better. His finances are getting better. It's just blessing beyond measure.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but that's speaking back to that frequency, and there's a frequency for everything. And as we speak, you know, same thing as playing that music to those plants. When we speak, our body hears the words that we say. And if you walk around or sick and tired, you're going to have an end result. That's way different than if you're telling everybody that you're abundantly blessed or that you're mighty fine or that you're doing great. And we just gotta watch that.
Go ahead. Like that milk cow, you cuss at her, she's not going to be a very nice cow. You play her some nice, sweet music, she might be a whole lot different animal. Yeah, frequency is everything. God keeps track of everything, so...
Amen. And I think we are just about out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us. What a great program this morning. And Remnant, hope it was a blessing to you as well. Got your batteries recharged up to get through the weekend. And we hope you'll join us at church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, for a review of the news and a timeless pulpit truth. And got Brother Zach with a live message. So he came out and is visiting, and so we'll hope you'll join us, and we'll see you there and see him there as well. And thanks again. Keep us in your prayers. And if you want to send an email, our email address is preacher@sfaw.org, preacher@sfaw.org.
People are asking questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Now listen. It ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to when this war is in our churches and in our homes. Pray to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray in the name. Get united to take their stand. There ain't much that the devil can do. It's written he's been defeated. Jesus took away his keys. He said the gates of hell cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus.
Rolling, 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 rolling.